God for all of you that are joining us. This present truth is on the air. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you and bless you for this opportunity that we have to share the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of understanding and knowing the Scripture. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is our helper. He promised to bring us into all truth. You said that when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will show you things to come. You shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Thank you tonight, Lord. The Holy Spirit will reveal what's needed for each heart that is listening. This will be a tailor-made word for those that dial in tonight. Thank you for helping us with an utterance and an unction that only you can give. We bless and thank you, Lord God, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Let's consider 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'd like to share something tonight regarding our devotion unto the Lord. Just a little bit of what is a devotional life, what is the beginning of our quiet time that we need to be having with the Lord, and why is that important? 1 Timothy chapter 4, there's some instructions given by the Apostle Paul to this young pastor that I want us to consider. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll start at verse 12 and read down to the end of the chapter. I'll start with the King James Version, and then we'll go to the Good News translation. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy and the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Then verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Paul has given these instructions to a young pastor that is getting a hands-on training of what ministry is like, what it's like to counsel and share the gospel with people. He was somewhat of a worrisome person. He had some medical issues, but for the most part, the instruction that Paul gave Timothy was based on how he was able to devote his life to what he was called to do. And I want to just say, brothers and sisters, if we don't dedicate our lives to what God would have us do, then what are we dedicated to? What is the nature of our life, and why is it significant if we're not fulfilling God's purpose? Here, what we see is the Apostle Paul encouraging him to not worry about those that are thinking he's underage or inexperienced, or that he just doesn't have the knowledge. It's hard for older generations to submit to the younger generation at times because the older generation thinks they know more. But it's not about who has the most knowledge. It's about understanding what God is revealing through the Scripture. So he says, don't let anyone despise your youth. Be an example to the believers. Even at a young age, with a life that's committed to Christ, be an example to those. In these areas, notice it's kind of broad. Be an example to the believers in word. Be a man of your word. Be true to what you say. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. He says, be an example in conversation. This is a lifestyle. This is not me speaking to someone. This is a lifestyle. My conversation, how I carry my life. He says, be an example of that to the believers in love. You should be an example as to how to love people. Why? Because you carry Christ's life. He says, be an example to the believers in word, in lifestyle, in love, in spirit. That you have a uniqueness to your life that has to do with your spirit man. He says, be an example in spirit. These who are coming out of darkness, brothers and sisters, don't know yet how to use their spirit man, because throughout their life in darkness, the spirit is dead. A dead spirit cannot communicate with the living God. So in Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. What deadness was he talking about? The deadness of your spirit man that cannot communicate with God if it is not alive. So Christ, when we come into Christ, he quickens that which is dead within us and makes it alive. And the new life in Christ begins at the cross. We exchange our old life for his new life. So he says, be an example, because you can. You can be an example to the believers in word, in your lifestyle, the way you love, in your inner man, your spirit, in faith, and in purity. Be an example. This has everything to do, brothers and sisters, with a life that's devoted to God. Laid down at his asking, at our expense, and a willingness to receive the new life that we have in Christ, this new creation life. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy and with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. There was an impartation given. Don't neglect that. Don't take that for granted. Don't lean on it like it's all you need and you're trying to get into doors and opportunities because of who laid hands on you. No. No. That's not what he's saying. He says, don't neglect what was imparted to you. Again, refocus your attention on he who lives within you as a central focus. Then here comes the instructions. Meditate upon these things. Here it is. Give thyself wholly to them, completely to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Timothy, if your ministry is going to be effective, you have to make sure that you're doing this as you impart it to others. Because if we're just hearers of the word and not doers, we're deceiving ourselves, James 1 tells us. So let me read this now in the Good News Translation, and we'll start at verse 14. Do not neglect the spiritual gift that is in you, which was given to you when the prophets spoke and the elders laid their hands on you. Verse 15, practice these things and devote yourself to them. Practice these things and devote yourself to them. Notice what is needed in the practice: devotion. Practice these things and devote yourself to them. Why? In order that your progress may be seen by all. So what he's saying in this, brothers and sisters, is that maturity can be seen if you have the discipline of practice. You have to put into practice what God is revealing to you out of the scripture. It's one thing to know it, and it's another thing to practice, put it into practice. I'm reminded of my old basketball days. I used to love practice because it was before the game started, and we could work out all the details, the moves we was going to do, the fast breaks. I was working on the things that I knew would happen for me in the game. I was aggressive. I was trying to focus on defense, and I was telling myself I'm good for at least 3 steals a game. I'd be watching the guy coming, and I'd work it. So in my mind, I was plotting this out. This is what the Holy Spirit has done to the life of every child of God. He set the direction for the life so that that person doesn't have to figure it out. Brothers and sisters, this order that we've been given by the world system, go to school, get a good education so you can get a good paying job and be something, it's false. That's not God's plan. That's what the world is telling people. And so people do. They go to school, they get a good education, they make a lot of money, but they die without Jesus. So what have we accomplished? Nothing, because they didn't make it. So all the people you telling that go to hell, you're going to have to give an account because they didn't know Christ before they died. It's not about going to school, get a good education, you can be something. No, it's give your life to Jesus so you can become who he wants you to become. Because without him, you aren't anything. Jesus said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. So now understand the nature of devotion. What is a devotion? A devotion is something that you yield your life to completely. It's an ardent affection for something. That a devotion is released out of a passionate desire to pursue this thing that I'm devoted to. Now, for the believer, there's two that you need to consider. Now, again, what we're talking about in commitment is a selling of all that you have and laying it down. We're not talking about you continuing on in the life that you're living while you strap Jesus on top of that life. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about a Jesus that is mixed with your religious beliefs. No, that won't work either. None of those things produce the genuine Christ life of the new creation. And brothers and sisters, that's what the world is waiting for. The world is groaning and waiting right now for the manifestation of the sons of God to come forth and show us how to live. Show us the way in Christ. Be the audiovisual for the life. And unfortunately, brothers and sisters, many have not responded to that call. And yet, this is what Paul is ingraining in this young disciple, in Timothy. Notice he says, practice these things and devote yourself to them in order that your progress may be seen by all. Verse 16, this is the good news. He says, watch yourself and watch your teaching. Keep on doing these things, because if you do, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Now, brothers and sisters, I can't help but to consider if he doesn't do these things, what are the repercussions? You won't save yourself, and everybody with you will perish. That's what he's saying. In other words, the leaders got to get it right, because if not, they're responsible for the downfall of everyone else. So, man of God, woman of God, elder, leader, whoever you are leading, 5 or 15 or 500, make sure you got it right. Make sure your life is correct. Make sure you're not imparting to others secret sins in your own life that you haven't repented of, that you haven't given to the Lord, because know that that's what you're imparting to them. So he's telling Timothy, he says, practice these things and devote yourself to them. There's the word. Devote yourself to them. Now, the first devotion is a life devotion. This life devotion releases a capacity within us to increase from the inner man. That the Holy Spirit comes within us and increases our capacity to understand the knowledge of God. Outside of the Holy Spirit giving that interpretation, we don't know what God is saying. We don't know what his word is saying. So he says here, devote yourselves to them. Give your whole self over to this thing. That's devotion. Dedicate your life to this thing. This is what God wants in the calling on this man's life. Devote yourself to this completely. Now, devotion is this ardent affection. The NLT, the New Living Translation, says, throw yourself into these things. Immerse yourself into these things. Another translation says, concentrate all your thoughts to be committed. What we're saying here, brothers and sisters, is that any devotion from the heart of a person requires a commitment. It requires that. Without a commitment, your devotion, it doesn't mean anything because you're not committed to it anyway. I'm going to get up at 6 and pray. I'm going to get up at 5. I'm going to get up at the ungodly hour of 4:30. That's what you said, but you didn't do it. So nothing happened. Nothing came out of it because you didn't devote yourself to it. It was a great idea. And we all have great ideas of how we're going to spend more time with God. But do we carry it out? Is there enough fire within us to carry out those kind of requests? Never forget when I wanted to spend the night with the Lord. I kept hearing the Lord say, I want you to spend the night with me. I want you to spend the night with me. And I was like, you know, what do you mean? You know, spend the night with you. You know, I stopped praying around 2:30 a.m. or 3, and the Holy Spirit was saying, keep going. Go into the early mornings. And I'm like, well, it already is early morning. No, just keep going. Keep going. And I never forget, brothers and sisters, I got to the point where the sun is coming up over the horizon. And there was this sense that I had accomplished it. That I spent the night with the Lord. That it was dark and now the sun's coming up. God, I felt like I was doing something. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of the kind of devotion that it takes to actually do that. You really got to be devoted if you're going to spend the night with it. Hey, brothers and sisters, if you're going to spend any considerable amount of time in God's presence, guess what you're going to need? Discipline. It's not going to be easy to do. You might think it's easy, but then you get in God's presence and you get sleepy. And oh, you didn't have your afternoon nap, you know, right after arts and crafts for us seniors. They got to lay us down. It's time for us to take a nap. I don't want to take a nap. Got to take a nap. If you're not disciplined, you won't carry out whatever it is you think you're devoted to. So devotion and discipline are cousins. As a matter of fact, the root word for disciple is discipline. So understand, brothers and sisters, that if my life isn't devoted to something, then how am I going to serve God effectively? How is God going to get the most out of a life that's not really dedicated to him? He's not. He can't get anything out of a life that's not dedicated. So my first devotion is concerning my life. I've laid my life down. In the Gospels, we read where Peter said, lo, we've left all to follow thee, and what shall we have? What he was identifying was, we left everything and have decided to follow you. My brother, my sister, can I just ask, have you done that? Or did you just start going to church? You started hearing the messages and trying to, you know, make sense of the message, but nothing has happened to you inside. You haven't been born again. You just started going to church. What, do you assume that because you go to church and hang out with the born again people, that that's what makes you born again? Oh, you couldn't be farther from the truth. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Hey, my brother, my sister, are you new? If you're not new, there has been no devotion in life, no life devotion. Now, without a life devotion, the next aspect of your life is not going to make sense, which is your personal devotion. Your personal devotion to God flows out of a life devotion that you've laid down your life already. So the next logical step after laying down your life is to personally get to know the Lord through the Word of God. This is what many who go to church don't have. They were never taught the principles of quiet time, how to build an altar unto the Lord. When you read the Old Testament, like Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they built altars unto the Lord for the sake of fellowship and worship unto God. That's what it was back then. Now, in Christ, we see that that is still a necessity to following him. Because if the disciples didn't follow Jesus, they never would have became apostles. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. It shows that you can't become anything until the hand of God himself makes you. You can't be made if there's not a personal devotion to follow the Lord. We see this life devotion in those that have come to the Lord in Acts chapter 2. They gave their lives to the Lord. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was moving, Peter did not preach a sermon. I hate when people mention that because they don't know what they're talking about. It wasn't a sermon. A sermon is something that somebody prepares. He didn't have time. They said, these men are drunk. Others mocking said. That's what others mocking said. These men are drunk. The first question that was asked, brothers and sisters, if you read the account carefully, let's just read it real quick. Peter rose up, and if you look at verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, what meaneth this? That was the first question that never got answered. Verse 13, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Then Peter responded to that, not what meaneth this. So because that question seeped through the message that was preached and they gave their lives to Christ, it was never answered. What meaneth this? Others mocking said, oh, they're drunk. Then Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose. It's not that. Then he explained what it was. At the end of what he shared, we see in verse 37, their response. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The word of God went forth and convicted the heart. That's why it wasn't a sermon, because sermons don't do that. Only the word of God can convict a heart. And my brother, if you're just preaching sermons, you're not helping the people of God. You're giving a dead letter. That's not what brings life. The Spirit gives life, according to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, the second chapter. The Spirit gives life. No, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The Spirit gives life. Without it, it's a dead letter. We're living epistles known and read of all men. So understand that our responsibility has to do with a life that people can see that looks like Jesus. It resembles him. Even in Acts 11, when they found those, they said, man, you guys act just like Jesus. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. But what were they first? Disciples. They weren't Christians becoming disciples. No. They weren't disciples becoming Christians. They were Christians becoming disciples. They had received Christ. And I want to stop here long enough to say, brothers and sisters, that without Christ, it's a futile attempt to live this life. And the way I like to put it is the way I heard it. Only Christ can be a Christian. Only Christ can be a Christian. Without Christ, it's a futile attempt to live this life. You will be frustrated, you will be disappointed, and you'll be done with church, like most people are. They're not listening to nobody that goes to church because they've seen such a duality of life that doesn't represent Christ. So the world is groaning, wanting to see a manifestation of the sons and not just people who go to church. Insensitive, hate, and all the other things that come out of the heart that resembles the world system. And the world is saying, wait, I thought you guys said you're Christians. You're like Christ. But we're still looking and we see nothing that resembles Jesus. My brother, is there a life devotion where you've laid yours down? Without that, there'll be no personal devotion that we see here with these believers. Now, the personal devotion is located here in this second chapter, starting at verse 42. We'll read at verse 41 really quick before we close. Then they gladly received his word and were baptized, and that same day they were added unto them. Notice who these 3,000 were added to. Not a church, not a building, not a group. They were added to disciples. That God gives souls to disciples so that they can grow them up in the faith. Notice, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. This daily devotion is their continuing steadfastly. There's a steadfast continuance as a result of the grace affecting the heart. If there is no response from grace, nothing has happened to the heart, and the life won't be devoted. It'll be churchy, but it won't be devoted. It'll try to be spiritual, but it won't be completely sold out. So when another Jesus is offered, it'll be taken. Can I ask you, my brother, my sister, out of what all the enemy showed Jesus, which of those grabbed your heart? When he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time, and all he had to do was bow down and worship him, did you offer one of those to you and you said yes? You know, like money, mammon, prominence, prestige, want to be famous, and hold on to God? The world system will chew you up and spit you out. The world system will have its way with you to where you can't even demonstrate Christ's life any longer. I want to stop here long enough to say that without a daily devotion, you won't make that much impact in the kingdom of God. You won't have a reputation in hell as someone that they have an assignment to try to stop. You won't even be known in hell. You won't be a threat at all to the powers of darkness. You have basically made no impact in time. Would you like to pray about this, my brother, my sister? What we see here in the NIV, it says they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves is what the NIV says in this second chapter. They devoted themselves. What have you devoted yourself to? A person, a personality? You're part of an entourage? There's no future in that. You following somebody else for the rest of your life. That's why Jesus died on the cross, for you to be a part of somebody's entourage. You pushing them up to be famous. Nah, you've missed it, my brother. And you're probably following a personality cult. And that person is wooing you to continue to follow them. You got to keep your eyes focused on Christ and him crucified. Because there's a conflict. Your personal devotion will be wane. It will begin to wane. I would like to pray today. Maybe you haven't made that kind of commitment for a life devotion. That's why it's a struggle to have quiet time. Because your life devotion that you've laid down, what flows out of that is a personal devotion where I meet God every day. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for those that are viewing. I pray, Lord, that you give us clarity and understanding in this. Many say they know Christ, but they're not devoted to you. They haven't laid down their life. They just started going on Sundays and midweek, and now even that's a problem, Lord. Those who say they know you say they would rather view than fellowship. Father, will you help us today to understand that these and the distinction that you were making in your body is that there was a steadfast continuance in these areas. And one of them was fellowship. The koinonia. The richness of our fellowship. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that it would not be interrupted by self or the system of this world, that you will help us. Piece together an understanding and lay a proper foundation for us to build an altar. Quiet time with you, like the Lord Jesus Christ. Where in Mark 1:35, the Bible says, and early, a great while before day, Jesus rose and went to a solitary place, and there he prayed. He had a place where he prayed. It was a solitary place. How did Judas know where to bring the army to arrest Jesus? Because he knew where he was praying. So, Father, help us to understand that this devotion first begins with my life, laying it down at your feet. Secondly, my personal devotion is my everyday communion with you. And we want to thank you today, Father God, that the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. That this man is renewed daily. That the outward man, though he's perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Help us in this renewal of this man within us that has been quickened by your Spirit, made alive, so that Christ is now dwelling in us. Please help us, Lord, to focus on the right things. Help us to be devoted relationally to he who dwells within us. He's greater than he that dwells in the world. Thank you, Lord God, that you will continue to clarify these things as we build the proper foundation for walking with you until you return. We bless and thank you for these moments, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you. That's all the time we have on this episode. I'm Pastor Mark Copeland. We're signing off. We'll see you next time. God bless you. May God's riches be yours. God bless.